Father, as we come to you this morning in prayer, this sweet time that we can raise our hearts to you, that you lift us up to hear our prayers. May we believe in you, the God who answers, and may you come quickly and give justice. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So a couple weeks ago, you probably saw this in the news, Dallas police officer Amber Geiger was convicted and sentenced in the murder of the death of Botham Jean. Officer Geiger had entered into Jean's apartment mistakenly thinking that it was her own. And when she found somebody there, she confronted him and ultimately shot and killed him. And at the end of the trial, Botham's brother Brant was given the opportunity to speak directly to Officer Geiger. And then he told her that he forgave her and that he loved her just as he loved anyone else. And then he encouraged her to give her life to Christ. He said, "I forgive you, and I know that if you go to God, He will forgive you." And it was this beautiful display of grace in an awful situation. But it was a beautiful display of grace shown by one who truly and deeply loved and loves Jesus. And if that wasn't enough, in this compassion, he practically begs the judge to get down from where he was seated and go over to her and give her a hug. And he does. And then the judge, who's also a Christian, she goes into her chamber. She gets her personal Bible. She brings it to Amber, opens it up, encourages her to read starting in John 3:16. And then she hugs her as well. And I think the four or five times I've watched that video, I've laughed each time. Because it was all in the news. Because this is an example of grace that is just sorely lacking in our society today. The picture of this judge is a far, far cry from the judge that we find in our gospel narrative this morning. Because see, here's the thing. We all have this deep-set hunger for justice. Anyone who has raised children, if they know this firsthand, right? Deep down, we expect everything to be right and fair. And it's a good thing. It's good because it's part of us being created in the image of God. We reflect, in our creation, we reflect a just God. And that's why we long for justice. The question is, this morning, is where do we go to find justice? As we look at the gospel, as we look at this parable, it's very important to remember what a parable is. A parable is an earthly illustration of some heavenly truth. And sometimes what it does is it takes the smallest, it takes the most inconsequential, or maybe it's the worst possible situation that could happen to magnify the greatness about God and who He is. And this is exactly what's happening in Luke this morning. This judge is the worst. He is the superlative. He is despicable. He doesn't fear God or people. Very likely, this is the type of judge who actually lives off of bribes. They don't dispense justice except out of the pocketbook. He is completely opposite of what a judge is supposed to be. And the irony of this whole story is the fact that here's this widow. This widow is seeking, and she ultimately receives justice from somebody who is a travesty of justice. So like most widows in Jesus' time, this woman is desperate. She's destitute. She has no one to turn to. She has nothing to give for a bribe. She can't buy her way into justice. She has no reason whatsoever to expect justice. She brings nothing to the table except her persistence. And she has one hope, only one hope. The only hope she has is this judge, this awful, dishonest judge. And for a while, he refuses. He's like, no, whatever. Until finally he relents and he gives in. Does he see her need? Does he grow a heart suddenly and become compassionate towards the widow? No. He was bothered. She wore him out. And he gave in. And then the interesting thing is because he doesn't normally do this. Jesus doesn't normally explain his parables, but he does here. And he says, if this judge will grant justice based only on nagging persistence, how much more will a God care for you and answer your prayer because you are chosen, because he knows and loves you because you are his own. See, the parable is teaching us that God is so much more. You have the superlative awful. You have the superlative wonderful. He is so much more than the unjust judge. I have a whole list of contrasts I want you to listen to. The judge was wholly unjust, even corrupt. And yet God is wholly just, incorruptible. The judge is unwilling, but still does it. But he's unwilling. God is more than willing. He's eager. The widow ultimately wears out the judge, but we can never wear out God with our prayers. There was no reason for the widow to expect justice, and yet we have every reason to expect favor from God. She had every reason to fear the judge. We have no reason to fear God. It took time to wear down the judge. It was that persistence, the grinding of the stone. And yet Jesus says, God does not delay long in helping them. He comes and he grants justice quickly. She came to a judge that she had to keep her distance from. She couldn't get too close. She just had that from afar. Give me justice. Give me justice. He was afar. And yet we come to a Father that bids us to boldly come into his presence. He doesn't keep us at arm's length. We are there with him. The widow was a stranger. The widow was unrelated to the judge. There was no connection, no strings that she could pull to receive her justice. And yet we are God's elect. We are chosen. We are part of his family. He knows us and loves us and delights in us. And then she came to the judge. She had to go to the judge. She went to the judge on her own account. But God himself is already engaged in our cause. He's already at work to our advantage. You see the difference? This is the picture that Jesus is giving us with this parable. If the most awful can offer justice, if the most awful will hear prayer, how much more the great and wonderful God that we serve. See, this was a lesson. Jesus is teaching his disciples this. He wants them, it's at the very beginning of the gospel passage, he wants them to pray always and to not lose heart. I mean, evidently, some of them were tempted to give up. Some of them were tempted to lose heart. Jesus knew them. He said to them, don't lose heart. Don't stop. And you know what? Certainly, we all struggle with the same thing. Each one of us have prayers that we are constantly coming to God with, that we're constantly bringing before the throne. And I'll just speak for myself. Sometimes, I don't know, sometimes I might doubt that he's going to answer them. But that's not who our God is. See, we, along with the disciples, we are the persistent widow. In that story, that's who we are. We're the widow. We come to God with nothing. We come empty-handed, and we're needy. We're desperate. We're needy. And although sometimes it seems as if God doesn't hear, we have every reason to believe that he does and that we cannot give up. We must persist. We must not lose heart. Now, here's the other thing, though. How often, and maybe I'm just pointing fingers at myself, how often do we come to God as if he's the unjust judge and not the Savior who has chosen us? See, I'm certain that the widow was surprised. I'm certain that once he finally relented, she's like, what? And she's shocked. She actually received justice. And sometimes I'm tempted to be surprised when God answers my prayer. But the point is, we shouldn't be surprised, because God is so much more than the unjust judge. He's there for us in so many ways that we don't, I guess, realize or know. We just don't incorporate into our being. So sometimes we come as if he's the unjust judge. Or maybe, here's the other thing that came to mind as I was thinking about this. Maybe there's other things that we run to for justice other than God. I mean, she maybe could have tried to take matters into her own hands. I don't know. Doesn't sound like she had the resources. Maybe we do. Maybe we take matters in our own hands. Maybe we try to control our surroundings. There's injustice between two people, and so instead of dealing with it and going to God with it, we're just going to build walls. We're going to isolate. We're going to exclude. Or maybe we put our trust in family ties or politics or money or all these other things that we run to as human beings. And yet, there's only one just judge. There's only one person that we can come to. All those other things that we replace the God of the heavens with, they're all counterfeit. They're all counterfeit compared to the gracious care that comes from a just and holy Savior. And see, at the end, Jesus asks this question. He says, when he returns, will there be faith on earth? And I think too often we've approached that question by saying, oh, there's a challenge. I've got to be faithful. I've got to figure out somehow to, you know, exercise my faith muscle. I've got to be the one that does the work. Like, I'm going to impress God with my faith. That's not what he's saying here. That's not what he's saying at all. This is about believing in the God who is the just judge, who has chosen you, who has loved you, and who will continue to love you. See, the thing is, will he find faith on earth when he returns? It's a resounding yes. That's the point of this passage. Yes, because he will find faith in the hearts of those whom he has chosen and he loves. He will do that in you. He will do it in me. And he will carry us through all these difficult hardships that we constantly are bringing to the Lord. There's one more comparison that I left out, and I'll close with this. See, the widow had no one to plead her case. There was no attorney assigned to her. She had to speak up for herself. She had to go and nag and nag and nag. We, on the other hand, we have an advocate with the Father. We have somebody who goes before us, somebody who takes our prayers. We have Jesus, his Son. He is our advocate. We're not on our own. We're not the persistent nagging widow who has to wear God down. We come to the one who loves us and who intercedes for us with the Father. So don't give up on prayer. Pray always. Don't lose heart. Because we have an amazing, loving God who is on our side. And he's fighting for us. And he's answering our prayers. Amen.